ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, who is our holy Redeemer and our rock. And for the next few moments that the Lord has anointed and appointed, that I may come and speak to this thy waiting congregation and those of you who are sharing with us on Facebook Live this morning, won't you, hallelujah, won't you turn your attention to that fourth chapter in the book of Acts as I give this sermonic theme, direct access, direct results.
All right.
Hallelujah to Jesus. It is November again, and most years, November is the time when we give special attention to the subject of prayer. Please, y'all, don't get it twisted. Don't get the idea that we only highlight prayer once a year, because nothing could be further from the truth. We are and have always been a praying church since the beginning. There is no way we would have made it for the past 15 years without the power of prayer. Come on, I need some amens in the house this morning. For it has been our sustainer when we didn't know how we would make it from one Sunday to the next. So I need you to co-sign there. Prayer has been the key component to helping us grow in our faith, and it has been that bridge that has carried us through those very storms of life. I think I'm talking to somebody already, Pastor Keith. Back some 15 years ago when we first started this church at that ungodly hour of 7:15 a.m. Come on, I know we got some witnesses here. It would be dark outside. You all remember it'd be dark outside. It'd be raining. It looked like it rained every Sunday morning. And you know, I don't know if you know, but we know a few fair weather saints. And if the sun ain't shining and it ain't a balmy 78 degrees, they can't get this before COVID. We didn't know a thing about COVID then. But folks would not get up out of bed. And me and my husband, we would be praying all the way up from Edgewater up to Hanover, praying that somebody besides us would show up for service. And by the very grace of our God, he would always send some worshipers to the house. Am I right about it? Rain, shine, sleet, or snow. Because he would always send somebody, it gave us the fortitude to keep going, even though the enemy of our souls would try his best to convince us that it would not work, that it would not last, and we should give up and turn around. Am I right about it? It was all a part, Sister Leona, of the devil's scheme to make us believe that our access was denied. When we called on the Lord to come to see about little old us, there are countless times when the enemy shows up to do just what the word of God in John 10:10 says. It says he came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Am I right about it? Has he shown up in your life just like the word said he would? Let me tell you that he has tried it more than on one occasion at the Brown residence. Yes, he's a regular over there. Can I just say it like that? As a matter of fact, he tries it on a regular. It seems that Satan has a way of using obstacles, opposition, and obstructions that come with living the life for Christ as stumbling blocks to keep us from seeing the goodness of God in the land of the living. I think that kind of sums it up. But that's old news, you all. That's real old news, because the Bible, if you read it from cover to cover, you will see that it is filled with stories that has shown us the enemy has always been in the picture, especially when God's people were on the move, or had a made up mind that they would combine fasting and praying to get an answer when it seemed like there was no answer. The late Dr. Charles Stanley taught for years that prayer is that link between God's inexhaustible resources and people's needs. And if you ask me, Sister TD, if you ask me, there's always someone who has a need, and prayer becomes the means by which we can have direct access and get direct results. Is that right? Is that right? Am I saying that okay? Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. You see, and that's what I want to talk to you all about this morning for just a few moments. I already mentioned to you that Satan has a way. He has a way of using those obstacles, those opposition and the obstructions that come with living a life for Jesus as a deterrent for following Christ. Because see, if he can get you to take your eyes off of Jesus and really lay your eyes on the problem, then he can get you off track, and then you will let Jesus go and go the way that the enemy wants you to go. I've seen people do it time and time again. You see, it was the opposition that Peter and John were feeling that Luke is writing about in the book of Acts. We know that there's a whole lot going on. If you read the book of Acts, it is one of those action-packed books in the Bible. It is the sequel to the book of Luke, written by the same Dr. Luke. Luke wrote Acts. Jesus, in this book, he has promised his disciples that he is about to leave them. But he's not leaving them hopeless. Amen. He's not leaving them helpless. Not leaving them comfortless. Rather, he's leaving them with the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In case you didn't remember, the Holy Spirit is fully God. He's co-equal. He's co-eternal with the Father and the Son. Amen, somebody. He was sent by the Father and the Son to apply Christ's saving work to those who trust him, Sister Benita. If anybody needs a refresher this morning, can I just give it to you like this? The Holy Spirit gives life. The Holy Spirit grants faith. The Holy Spirit unites Christ's people. It comes alongside us in the sanctification process. That's why we call him the Paraclete, because he comes alongside us and helps us to persevere in the hard times. He is our teacher, and he helps us to discern right from wrong. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us to operate in our spiritual gifts, which are given for the common good of the church and to serve other people. If you want to have a picture of the Holy Spirit, usually we say that he looks like a dove or tongues of fire. I just gave you just a little bit of what the Holy Spirit does and who he is. But can I tell you this? This is free. I'm throwing this one in. Just a word to the wise is sufficient. If you are going someplace or planning to do something or hanging out with someone and you can't take the Holy Spirit with you, you don't belong there either. I just need to tell somebody that. Just throwing that one in as a sidebar.
Amen.
But looking, taking a look at our text this morning, if you get a chance to read Acts 3 and Acts 4 in its entirety, you will see why Peter and John are facing opposition by the skeptics of that day. And skeptics ain't nothing new. They just didn't show up in the 21st century. They just don't hang around your church. They were always a part of the scheme there. You see, they are Spirit and show up with a holy boldness. You see, when that happens, then the status quo is no longer the status quo. Something's about to happen. I can feel it. I can feel it. Don't you know when you start to read something in the Bible and it looks like you just on the edge, but if you just keep on reading just a little bit more, it's going to show you something. Well, if we take a look at the 13th verse in Acts 4, it tells us that there were members of the council and they were absolutely amazed when they saw that kind of boldness on display by these men. What did they know? They knew that these were plain old ordinary men. They didn't have any special training in the scriptures. In other words, they had been to seminary. They had never been to the Bible Institute. They hadn't gone to great universities and colleges. They were just plain old people. But the other thing they saw is that those men had been with Jesus. We got something. We got something that is stirring up in the city. I can see it. I can feel it. And see, all of this, what it did is it caused those council members, caused them to put Peter and John out of the chambers. You see, they had them in this place, and they were talking to them about what was going on, and they had to kind of put their heads together and say, now, what are we going to do about all of this? How will we handle the situation? That they knew word had already spread like wildfire. You would have thought that they had social media. That's how fast it got around. The word was getting around. You see, they knew they didn't want a riot to break out in the city. So the council members decided that they would tell Peter and John, now, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we want you to behave, that you are never to speak about Jesus. Stop that teaching stuff in his name, okay? That's what you're going to do. Never again. Don't bring it up. Mom's the word. You all go on about your business. No more that Jesus stuff. No more healing folks. No more getting people on the side and preaching to them. We don't want any of that going on. Well, can I tell you this? That went over like a lead balloon. Anybody ever seen a lead balloon fly? It doesn't. You see, Peter and John said, we just can't keep it to ourselves. Oh, God, you all ever been in a place where Jesus had done something and you just couldn't keep it to yourself? Oh, see, you see what I thought about it? I was penning this. A few people came to mind. I said, you know what? That would be just like telling Sister Benita not to give God praise for his healing touch in her body that helps her to keep on feeling like she wants to go on. Anybody know that? How Sister Benita is? Or it would be like asking Sister Leona not to dance for the Lord for his goodness that he had done for she and Kaylin's life. It would be telling Sister Monica and Sister Brandon and Kaylin, stop all that singing about Jesus. They can't help it. And I thought back to Dr. Brown. I said, that'd be just like telling Mother Warnell, God rest her soul, to stop telling folks, you can't tell it. Let me tell it what the Lord has done for me. That's what it's like. I just want to give y'all some modern day examples of what they were asking those men to do.
Go ahead.
I think you all got it. You got my drift this morning.
Go ahead.
Before I move on, let me just unpack this just a little bit. Now that I've given you some backdrop, a little bit of history of what was happening in chapter 4, the Holy Spirit showed me this as I was writing. He said that this passage is broken down into three areas, three parts. We got a before the prayer. We have a during the prayer, actually the prayer itself, and says that as soon as Peter and John were free, they went to tell the other believers what they had endured, Sister Bernice, at the hands of the Sadducees. You see, they had experienced intense opposition from the ones who had actually delivered Jesus to the Romans when he was going to be crucified. It was the same people. You see, it was here that they had to make a decision. Either they could have scattered and went home, you know, and just sat down and watched TV. Mm-hmm. They could have left town and acted like the whole situation never happened, or they could do what they did.
Go ahead.
Anybody want to know what happened? They decided to pray.
Yeah.
Oh God. Corporately.
All right.
You see, whenever we are facing challenging times, can I tell you to make prayer be your go-to? Let prayer be your must-do. All right. You take notes. You might want to write that down. You see, the apostles didn't go to their separate corners, although that certainly could have been an option, but they decided to solicit the support of others who believed in the power of prayer. The beauty of corporate prayer is that although there is more than one of us, we show up as one in the sight of Almighty God. And it's a beautiful thing right there. Hallelujah. Taking all of us, we're lifting up our voices, we become one to the Father.
Amen.
Corporate prayer, Reverend Veronica, helps us to do as Psalms 34:3 reminds us. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Prayer, corporate prayer is unifying. It makes it clear that we are in this thing together, even when the struggles seem insurmountable, even when the struggles seem like they're never, and we're still all in the boat together. It helps us to realize that we really are a part of a larger community, and we are connected one to another. Corporate prayer brings encouragement. It brings guidance. You see, when we come together with one heart, seeking God's guidance, we can better discern his direction and make decisions that are in alignment with his purpose for us. Oh, yes. Corporate prayer is essential, and it is powerful. My second point is this. From their lips to God's ears equals direct access. See, the main portion of the text, the biggest portion of the text, from verses 24 through 30, really is where the prayer is happening. That is the bulk of the passages there. That is the prayer. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where the direct access happens. The text says, when they, referring to the believers, heard the report, they lifted their voices together in prayer to God. I know we all have been in those situations when we heard the report, and we began to offer up those prayers right then and right there. Oh, I know I have been the recipient of those. They heard the report, and they began to pray. You see, in other words, what happened when they heard what John and Peter were facing is they began to open their mouths corporately in prayer. They prayed to the maker of heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. That is who we should be talking to. The maker, the creator, the sustainer and maintainer of our lives. How privileged are we that we can go straight to Jesus with our lips to God's ears. Because can I tell you all, that was not always our story. We don't need a high priest. We don't need someone to stand in the Holy of Holies and plead our case. No more killing the lamb to atone for our sins. The lamb that takes away the sins of the world has already been slain. His blood has already been shed, and the blood has made us whole. Oh, we got some good stuff that's going on. Oh, we should be some happy Christians because of what the lamb has done for us. Now, my brothers and sisters, now we can enter in and let our requests be made known unto God. That's from Philippians 4:6. Now we know that he can incline his ear to us. The writer of Psalm 116:2 told us. And now he said to cast your cares on him, for he cares. Hallelujah, Sister Monica, for us, from 1 Peter 5:7. Now we understand man ought to always pray and not faint. From Luke 18:1, we have direct access to the risen Savior. Oh, that's a big deal, y'all. That's a real big deal. I know the world don't look at it like a big deal, but y'all try to pray to Confucius and see what happened. Somebody got to go over there and rub on Buddha's belly and see what happens. We have a big deal because we have direct access to the Father. Peter and John and the other believers didn't want the threats of the elders and the leaders to shut them up. Rather, they wanted to be bolder, more confident in their conviction. And when they spoke from their lips, they knew God heard with his own ears. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Just think about it. The creator of the universe hears. Somebody stand up and slap somebody high five on that one. Woo, that's big, 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 big. I got one more thing to tell you. Hallelujah. My third point is this. Bold prayers often yield bold results. I just want y'all to know you ain't got to tippy-toe around and telling God, well, God, you know, if you could just see about me, if you had some time, if you ain't too busy, if it ain't too much going on and over there, if you could, no. Can I tell you, as we examine the final verses of our text, verses 31 through 33, we can see the response of God to the prayer of his people. You see, in the text, after they pray.
That's right.
Yes. Go ahead. I don't want y'all to tear up nothing in here, but after they pray, the place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter and John, they preached with a holy boldness. No fear, no intimidation. The Sadducees can Hear you shout. Amen. 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 Amen.